Hello, everyone. I'm very excited for this afternoon's podcast. I've waited actually for quite a while for this, and I want to introduce you to a guy that is really filling the role of our only chiropractor on faculty and has really made an impact on that part of our institute. Skip George is with us today. Skip, welcome. Skip's in a much nicer, sunny La Jolla, California, compared to us in Nebraska. But Skip, hopefully your winter hasn't been as rough as ours. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks, RJ. We're still waiting for a little more winter, hopefully. We need a little more rain, and I know you guys have had some cold and snow. So I've been okay with the sunny weather here. It's been all right.
Yeah, you've been a little bit better off, but I know you're a avid skier, and we'll get into some of the articles and different literature you've authored, Skip, later on. But sure. I know you're waiting for some snow out there, that's for sure. All right, well, Skip, generally, you know, I like to get our listeners a little bit better understanding and kind of history of, you know, who you are, how you got involved with our institute. And Skip, as I kind of prepared for this episode today, we joke around that you're kind of, you know, we're now into some of the newer faculty. You kind of joined us as your faculty role around 2015, but I joke around with you on the phone a lot. You know, you're one of the newer faculties, and it's really a privilege for us to get to know you better because, you know, you haven't been around this institute, you know, for the whole 20 years or since 2002 or so on. So you have a storied past and a great history that many of our listeners may not know of. Skip, if you could walk us through a little bit of your life growing up, how you became interested in the field of chiropractic. You also went on to receive several certifications, you know, through the chiropractic sports practitioner, strength and conditioning specialist, and eventually your PRC. But Skip, if you could quickly walk the listeners through at what point in your life, kind of where you were at history-wise, when you decided that you were interested in these certifications and eventually chiropractic school?
Well, thanks, RJ, for the opportunity to talk with you today and just be part of this podcast and the Institute itself. It's been quite a journey and really professionally and personally satisfying journey. So would you like to know where I grew up to start, or do you want me to go right into school and all that? What would you prefer?
You know what, Skip, it'd be great to get a backstory of kind of where you grew up. I know you've spent the better part of your life in the state of California, but walk us through where you grew
sure.
up, maybe a little bit about, you know, if you want to share anything, you know, were your parents involved in healthcare, or really how you first got exposure to even healthcare or this type of setting throughout your early childhood?
Well, I grew up in Hollywood, actually, and I grew up off this road called Mulholland Drive. There's a place in L.A. and Hollywood called Runyon Canyon, and I grew up at the very top up in the Hollywood Hills when it was really rural. In fact, today, Runyon Canyon is sort of a touristy mecca for people hiking, but when I grew up, it was just fire roads and coyotes and deer and rattlesnakes.
Radio
it was
towers.
A great place. Yeah, I mean, it was a great place just to grow up in the middle of a city in a rural, somewhat rural, semi-rural setting with lots of open space and hiking. So after high school, I took some time off. I moved to Lake Tahoe to ski for a season. That had been a dream of mine when I was younger. And I went to part-time school, but it was really kind of challenging going to private school up there, a little small four-year liberal arts college called Sierra Nevada College, and working and trying to ski. So after I spent that season up in Lake Tahoe in the Sierras, I moved back down to Orange County. And I got a job driving a fuel truck at Orange County Airport and started learning how to fly and went to junior college, Orange Coast College there. And I thought, you know, looks like I'll have a career in aviation. I'll get all my ratings, and that's what I'll do. That's what I thought at the time. Then a friend of mine told me about chiropractic school. See, I had a grandfather that was a medical doctor and a godfather that was an MD and a bunch of osteopaths in my family on my mom's side back in Pennsylvania. But I hadn't really thought about healthcare. And when I mentioned my interest in going to chiropractic school, my family thought I was a little bit crazy. Chiropractors had been kind of the, you know, there have been a lot of, how can I say this?
Well, it was a new profession at the time. I mean, I don't know exactly the full history of the field, but mid-1960s?
Well, it was in the mid-70s that I got into chiropractic school. Yeah, I'm not that old, RJ, thanks.
Well,
I'm like, you know, I'm the youngest, one of the newer faculty members, but one of the older faculty members. I know what you're trying to say, but it's accurate.
Mid-70s, early 80s, yeah.
Let's put it this way. Chiropractic has been in a transition and a struggle to go from something that's more idea and belief, faith-based almost, on one hand, in certain segments of my profession, to a more evidence-based approach, which chiropractic is rapidly becoming more evidence-based and has been for some time. So when I made that decision, my family thought I was crazy, but you know, I hadn't always followed the family mold anyway. And I chose that career and I'm so glad I did. So I got out of chiropractic school in 1979, graduated from Cleveland Chiropractic College in Los Angeles. And then I moved to San Diego in 1980, and I had a pretty great mentorship before I came to San Diego. I worked with this doctor up in Universal Studio area, Universal City. His name was Harold J. Terwilliger. And Dr. Terwilliger, we called him Dr. T, he was like this old country doc in Wisconsin. Everybody loved him. And he had just this way, I think what I learned about being with Dr. T is having an attitude toward patients where you just listen to them and offer them warmth and attention. And I think that was his healing power at the time. He was also a great practitioner and really, for his day, a really good clinician. And he had this practice with stuntmen. He had people that worked in gas stations, executives. He had actors that came in. And they were all sort of just regular people when they walked in through that door and saw Dr. Terwilliger. So I had the privilege of being with Dr. T and learning how to have a patient rapport, a bedside manner. That was probably my best education. So then I opened up my practice in San Diego and had a traditional chiropractic practice with therapy and corrective exercise and x-ray machine for 15 years. And you know what, it got a little boring for me because I felt like I wasn't growing professionally. I was doing the same thing over and over and over again every day.
And it wasn't exactly what you saw, you know, from, you know, I don't think clinical or whatever, you know, the right term is, but spending time with Dr. T, I can't say his last name as well as you, but it wasn't what you saw there. And you knew that maybe that's kind of what you aimed for.
Yeah. I mean, it was actually similar because he would go in and spend time with people and adjust them, give them good chiropractic adjustments, a little therapy, maybe back in the day, iontophoresis and muscle stim and infrared and that sort of thing, diathermy. But what I saw is I got into a trap where I got so busy, I sort of lost the forest for the trees. I said, you know what? I'm so busy, I'm not spending time with people, but what is it I'm doing? Some people are getting better. Other people aren't, or they keep coming back for the same thing over and over and over again. And I thought at middle age at the time when I sold my practice, there's got to be something more.
Yeah.
So that was back in 1995, and I decided to take some time off. Got bored with, you know, surfing and playing golf and skiing. And I decided I've got to have something a little more meaningful. So I started this search. I started working in a local health club and
was this,
started looking at,
this was in San Diego still at the time.
This was in San Diego still.
I'm going to connect some dots here. So
Well, here's some dots. I graduated, let me back it up a little bit. I moved to Lake Tahoe in 1973, moved back to California. I was in Nevada, Orange County then in 73, 74. And then moved up to L.A.
Graduate chiropractor, 1980.
Yep, came down to San Diego, and I've been here since. And I started looking at all kinds of different things at the time, what was available 25 years ago. Well, there was Yanda's work. There was active release technique. So I started looking at the Prague School of Rehab. I started looking at all these different disciplines. So then I started looking at starting a new practice that integrated chiropractic, that integrated rehabilitation, that integrated strength and conditioning. And I started taking rehab courses within my profession. We were studying a lot of, you know, again, Yanda and Chola Wiki and collage and all that stuff that was out of Prague. I also went back to my roots. When I was in college, I had managed a gym in LA.
Okay.
And started bringing back what I learned in that gym up in LA called Vince's Gym. The guy that owned it was called the Iron Guru. He'd be an interesting Google for anybody that's interested. I was one of Vince Gironda was one of my strength and conditioning mentors. And Dr. Terwilliger was one of my chiropractic mentors.
And so you kind of really blended, ideas and styles, mannerisms, way that those two guys approach their careers and blended them together.
Was, and just to backtrack a little bit, when I was in college undergrad working at Vince's Gym, it was one of the most fun, raunchy, kind of crazy places you could ever imagine. Again, it had this mixture of executives, people that were blue collar, you had stuntmen, you had a Hollywood actors that when they walked through that door, there was going to be no errors about anybody. Everybody got harassed. It was an equal opportunity harassment location. And I can't tell you, it was for anybody that had ever worked out there or worked at Vince's, we all have fond memories on the sort of lunatic fringe of being in the San Fernando Valley during the 70s and having so much fun, giving each other just a bunch of, you know, stuff.
Well, it's LA, you know, you don't even have to say anything else besides the fact that you're
exactly LA. Exactly. And how I somehow made it to Lincoln, Nebraska to be with you guys, not live there, but to hang out with you guys in Lincoln, it amazes me. Well, but I digress.
We're probably just as equal opportunity, as you mentioned, as Vince's Gym, as far as
Listen, I've been bowling with you guys at faculty meetings, and you know, you guys, you know, we got nothing on y'all back there.
Equal opportunity, right, Skip?
Exactly.
All right. Well,
so I started looking at like FMS, SFMA, sports medicine, and then, and I'm working with for the past 20 years, I share office space with a trainer by the name of John Swain. And, you know, he's a guy that is always interested in pushing the envelope and exploring new topics. And so he and I were going to, you know, the functional training summit up in Long Beach and getting to know what's available out in the rehab and fitness world. And so I started looking at FMS, SFMA. And then John and I were having lunch one day with one of our chiropractor by the name of Craig Liebenson. And many people know Craig as being very involved with Vladimir Yanda, and a rehab guy in chiropractic. And he was talking about PRI. And I said, well, what's PRI? And he described it, and I said, wow, that sounds kind of interesting. I said, well, when's the next one? And that was back in 2012. We were at one of Craig Liebenson's rehab. You know, he had a little seminar down in the desert down in Arizona.
Yeah.
And so my first course was down.
Quick question, Skip. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I'm going to really press you. Do you have any idea how Craig Lieberson got to his first PRI course?
He never took a course. He just heard about it.
Okay, so there you go.
He just heard about it, and I said, Craig, you know, I've invited him, and the invitation is still open, but he said it looks like it's really cool stuff. So when Craig said that, I said, well, you know, let's go do it. And well, that was John and I took this course.
Yeah, this is 2012, and according to what I found out, Skip, I believe you're in Phoenix, and it was postural respiration.
Well, that's the funny thing, RJ. Now, here's the story. Of course, it's James Anderson teaching that weekend. I got an early flight on Saturday morning, and I walk into my first PRI course about 20 minutes late. The only seat available smack dab in the middle in the second row. James is starting, you know, he's 15 minutes into his intro, and I walk in. You know, James is a tall guy. I don't know how tall James is. Sometimes he's somewhere between 6'5 and about 6'9, depending upon, you know, the day he's having. He's a tall, good looking, gregarious, engaging, charismatic.
If he's slouching or standing straight, depending on how
those. And his arms are out wide, and he has that, you know, that James Anderson smile behind those really nice glasses he wears, and that those high cheekbones and that big broad smile. And he says, welcome. You know, he says, come on in, welcome. I was a little embarrassed and a little bit like, oh boy. And he says, here's a seat for you right in the middle. And he didn't know who I was. And he said, go ahead and introduce yourself. And I think I was the only chiropractor, obviously, in this course. And the rest are PTs and ATCs and so on and so forth. And so it's like, okay, here's my start to PRI. And I was so blown away.
He probably picked on you the rest of the weekend just because of that whole introduction and late arrival type setting. He probably didn't let up.
He said my name 14 times that weekend.
So welcome to PRI.
And he's looking. Yes, welcome to PRI. That was it. And you know what? Here's the thing. I was so blown away. And I was at a place in my career where I was in sort of a comfort zone. I actually thought I might be teaching, and I did teach a couple courses to chiropractic students. I might be teaching FMS. And I thought, this is cool. This is neat stuff to bring to the chiropractic profession. I had talked to Gray Cook and Lee Burton, two good guys out there. And then I get to PRI and I go, oh, whoa, holy moly. What is this? And I also was intimidated, I have to tell you right off the bat, because my suspicion was this was going to change everything. I didn't know how much it would change, but I had that, you know, intuitive sense, like, do I really want to go down this path? Because it's challenging. It's more complex than my mind at the time wanted to wrap around. You know, I'm older, I'm in my 50s, I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing pretty good here, and my business is busy.
Yeah.
So I took my first course, I go home, I've got people right arm reaching with a balloon and talking about the diaphragm. And quite frankly, after that course, I went into a little cocoon. I said, you know, I don't know about this stuff. And I almost let it slip away. Now, I have to thank John Swain for this. He's in his office listening to the Myokin tapes. Guess who's teaching the Myokin on the DVD discs? It's
so
James
again. The guy you're sharing a building with, all of a sudden you hear the same James Anderson voice, like deja vu.
Yeah, and it's just this voice that's haunting. It comes in my dreams. You know, it's James talking to me about a left hamstring on an ilium. Now, for any chiropractors listening to this, for anybody, PTs, in chiropractic, we have an old-time adjustment approach called Gonstead.
Yep.
And Gonstead uses x-rays to mark and to check the position of the ilia, of the left and right iliums. And I was listening to James talk, and I dropped everything I was doing. I went into that room as John was looking at this DVD, and I said, what in the heck is he talking about? Reverse that. Left hamstring on an ilium. And I'll tell you what, right there, left hamstring on a left ilium, taking a forwardly tipped ilium and posteriorly tipping it. I didn't even know at that point. I had forgotten postural respiration. I didn't even know what he was doing and why, but it made sense biomechanically. I wasn't even thinking respiration. I wasn't even thinking neurology. I was just thinking, in my limited view at that time, biomechanics. It wasn't until later where the respiration and then obviously the neurologic component of the whole system certainly made sense. But that put the hook in me, and I could hardly wait to start taking courses.
So the cool thing about it is, you know, obviously now that you've been teaching and been around this institute long enough, you know this as well as anyone, but there's people that take that first postural course or first myokin course, first whatever course it is, and they, you know, let's say 5 years go on before they take another course, and all it takes is just that one guy next to you, or that one person, that one colleague, or that one friend, or that one mentor, or the guy across the street, and then all of a sudden you're kind of like re-ingrained.
Yeah, it's why, you know, RJ, at the end of the courses, we always say, but especially postural respiration in the primary courses, we say, you know, obstacles to learning, one of them is not having collaboration with other people you're near. And it's really hard because I work with people that are basically, I see coming back to courses that don't have that collaborative interaction. They're like islands doing PRI alone, but they keep coming back. To me, those people are heroes because they don't have a lot of support. I was lucky enough to, you know, have that seed watered and I could grow and say, oh, and I got so excited about it that I started writing articles.
Well, and I started writing articles. I wanted to get into kind of some of your authorship and I don't know if you know exactly what ones. I think at this point, was it the Breathe Well and Breathe Often articles?
Yeah. And they were in a publication called Dynamic Chiropractic. You can always look.com. You can always look for archives. There's a Dynamic Chiropractic digital issues, but they have all the articles and some really terrific articles from other practitioners, not just chiropractors, but mainly chiropractors, that it's a resource for my profession or any profession to look into and to, you know, learn more about assessing axioskeletal issues. But not only that, concussion. I wrote an article on concussion and concussion protocol. I had been interested in PRI. What I wanted to do was to bring PRI to my profession because the light went on. It's like, PRI and chiropractic, like PRI and PT or PRI in athletic training or, you know, you name it, but it fits so well with my profession. It's something that, you know, as I look at my profession, what I did for years, that we would go to, for instance, a point of pain on the spine and say, okay, if it hurts there, it must be out of alignment. Or if a neck is stiff, let's adjust it. Without having this 21st century knowledge of integrating neurology with respiration, with all the systems of the body, how that is then reflected in the axial skeleton. So when I began to see the need for my profession to come into the 21st century with everything else we're doing, you know, there's so much really great stuff going on in my profession, but I saw PRI and it sort of became my mission. I don't want to get too evangelical, but I can't help it. that this is such a key and important piece that we need in our profession. So I started writing articles that broke down the rib cage and the diaphragm and then the pelvis from a myokin standpoint. I did a series of articles on recently trying to break down cervical revolution, our secondary course. I did a 4-part series on that.
And Skip, we'll get kind of back into, you know, as you and I know, you know, not only did you feel that it was needed for you personally and for your profession as you utilized it, but likewise, you know, in 2014, you were the first chiropractor to be certified as a PRC. And, you know, Skip, not only was it so meaningful for you and your career, but it really opened the door for us to integrate more with you and that career as well. So we'll get kind of
well,
back.
That's a great story. Just there, you know, RJ, I had taken an I&I course up in Seattle and met Ron. And it was sort of love at first sight with Ron and me.
Sure.
And I sat back and I was sitting next to another chiropractor that was there. And I was in the back row because I'd gotten there late again and all the seats had been taken.
You California people, you and, know, walking in late.
I know. I tell you what. And, you know, so I'm sitting back there and Ron starts working me. Now, Skip, you know, now, Skip, this is, and he would talk about the subscapularis or the heel or whatever it is. And Skip, if you look at this, and so I started making little lines. You make, you know, 4 little lines and then a diagonal line for 5. And I had all these scorekeeping on one of my pages throughout the weekend. Ron said Skip about 28 times that weekend. No kidding. It was so funny. And I asked Ron after that, I said, hey, Ron, this is really great stuff. And how come chiropractors aren't allowed to be PRCs? And, you know, is it something about, well, physical therapists don't like chiropractors and chiropractors don't like physical therapists and all that, which, you know, that could be a different podcast. It's just a silly attitude that we have towards each other. But long story short, Ron said, well, nobody asked. And I said, well, I'm asking. And so Ron went back and talk to the board and you guys said, sure, why not? And I thought this is really great. I was so delighted to be the first PRC, chiropractor PRC, and hopefully open the door for other chiros.
Well,
and
Skip, that's
I have to
what,
also say, yeah.
That's what I want to kind of circle back to when we, you know, when we end kind of with more of your role today.
Sure.
We'll circle back to it, but the cool thing is, Skip, you know, it took an individual like you. For example, I'll bring up a comparison, and I know Neil won't mind me using his name, but the same occurrence and the same story happened with, you know, really the PRT credential itself. Neil Rempe was athletic trainer and, you know, basically raised the same question as you did, you know, I'm here asking, so why not?
And oh, man. I didn't know that, RJ.
Yeah. So that was eventually how the PRT credential became a route, if you will, was because of the first interest by the first person. So it's just a cool story, as you mentioned. And really, you know, until, you know, we like to, you know, we're proud of the fact, Skip, that now today, we hope to integrate with as many professions as we can and as many individuals as we can. Of course, we have to have our criteria of certain requirements and a certain, you know, level of degree and understanding to be able to go through those credentialing processes. But, you know, Skip, that was kind of the first step in integrating with your field. And, you know, as we'll circle back to it, but we're so excited to keep doing that and growing that as we continue.
Well, and I'm hoping, and I think this year we may have 1 or 2 DCs that will credential. I've been talking to a couple, one on the, So we'll see. But
that was really the start of things though. And Skip, it kind of takes us into, you know, you mentioned finally being at a level of going to impingement and going down the credentialing route. I mentioned that you were certified in 2014 and really skipped the next story of the next part of your story is really a quick one. Between 2014 and mid 2015, you know, you had a quick transition into being asked to eventually become a faculty member. Before we get into that role, I want to just end with, you know, once you were exposed to PRI and once you had a couple courses under your belt and eventually became certified, what did that do for your private practice? You know, what did that do for La Jolla Spine and Sport and Spine at the time? Did it change the way you practiced? What benefits were there? You know, how did it change your clinical experience?
Well, thanks, RJ, for that. Well, first off, I had a way to assess people that I thought was the most objective functional testing to add to my orthopedic toolbox. And then I was able to match techniques, whether they were non-manual or manual, to patients with back pain or shoulder problems or knee problems. So orthopedic problems that people came in with, it opened a door to be so much more effective. That's number one. Number two, I was able to see now patterns as they were related to breathing and position and posture, where I could spot things with people that were doing strength and conditioning in my office and help them have a more balanced access to other parts of their body. So that was sort of a huge eye-opener. How could I, number one, use PRI to be more effective with disc patients, with headache patients, but how could I also integrate with sport performance? And so I was getting all of this feedback from people that they were able to sense their, for instance, left side better when they hit a tennis ball, or they were able to turn better when they were skiing. So those were some of the practical aspects. But I think some of the other aspects I was able to help people with, especially that were so sympathetically driven, you know, how to integrate respiration to help just relax and to give yourself physiologically a little break from whatever's going on in your life. And so in that regard, when I'm spending a lot of time with people, I typically spend half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour, you get to know people, you get to know their lives, you get to know what they love and what hurts them and what brings them joy.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, they, after a while, they really let their guard down. And when you're able to coach them with a few little tips to help them move through their day better in a more relaxed fashion, that's another component of PRI that I think is really powerful.
Yeah.
And when I also have some military young guys that come in that have seen and done a lot that's very traumatic, and to help them breathe and down regulate, maybe sleep a little bit better, I think that's a critical component of PRI.
Yeah. Well, another thing, Skip, I just happened to kind of think of it as we were talking about how, you know, this really opened the door for the integration of chiropractic and your, you know, as you're discussing kind of your clinical setting and experiences, the other cool part in my mind, Skip, is that, you know, when people call on the phone or we get a lot of people at trade shows or different times of the year that, you know, they're only specifically interested in, well, what part of your science is manual work or what part of it, you know, I'm a manual therapist, so how can I integrate PRI? Really, you as a chiropractor and what you're describing allowed you to, you know, blend not only the schooling you had and the manual therapy and manual adjustments and different, you know, releases that you were using at the time, but blend it with some of the more non-manual things that the patients could go home with and kind of control
right
at home. It's such a perfect fit for each other. So
it totally is. Well, the thing is, especially just for example, postural respiration, how powerful the diaphragm is, and the shape and function of the diaphragm, how it affects every joint in the body. And let's just go to the spine. If you have dysfunctional or paradoxical breathing, for example, and you can't recognize that and treat it, I could adjust somebody 1,000 times and make them feel better in the moment, but then they're always going to be fighting 10 to 18,000 times a day. Every time they take a breath, they're always going to be reinforcing a pattern and position. And my thought about it now is, you know, the miracle of this science, I really call it that, is that, okay, I can get to the cause and be more powerful, competent, and effective versus just treat a symptom at the location of the pain, which isn't the source.
Well, and, so and not only can you get to the cause, but you can get to it while utilizing all these other techniques.
That's right.
You know, all these other
And here's tools. The thing. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's and that's your art. Everybody has their unique personality and their unique approach. It's like a musician being able to be very artistic, but know the basics, like PRI, really knowing PRI well, and then integrating it into a practice is really, really powerful. And it's not that I don't adjust anymore, but I don't rely on adjusting to get to the source of the issue. If there's a joint fixation, we call it subluxation, and need to tap it a little bit further where it needs to go after you've done the more thinking work of PRI, that blend of PRI and chiropractic is like a miracle. You still need to be able to adjust the spine really well, and that skill is something that's a real gift. But when you have both skills, it's very powerful.
And Skip, it's the same exact topic of just, you know, we can either attack this thing from two different points of view, from two different fields, you know, from I'm a chiropractor, you're a PT, or you can look at it and say, if I can use both of these things or all four or five or six or eight of my credentials and blend them into a model that I utilize each of them when needed or with each other and built off each other,
yeah,
how much more powerful can that be, you know?
And also, it's absolutely, RJ, this whole issue of being interdisciplinary, that's what PRI is about. There are times I go out, for instance, recently in North Carolina to advanced physical therapy with that crew down there. Those PTs are so sharp and
they've been
open.
Around a while.
They have been. I mean, they're doing Schroff scoliosis approach with PRI. I mean, you know, they're interacting with dentists. And when I went down there in January and had really one of the best experiences ever with that group of friends, you know, you walk through that door, it doesn't matter if you're PT, DC, MD, ATC, or dentist. It was just a collaborative approach and interaction. And that's the way all of our classes really are. So I would have never have dreamed when I came out of chiropractic school that I would be in front of people like I am now.
Yeah.
And having a professional interaction like this.
Yeah. And Skip, if we kind of quickly get into, so I mentioned from 2014 when you got credentialed, obviously you're kind of talking about some of your faculty situations and experiences, but how did you get, how did you become involved? How did your faculty role evolve into what it was in the mid 2015 and then into what it is today? we joke around earlier, what course does Skip have coming up, or what course is Skip teaching? You're currently teaching cervical and postural, but walk us through kind of the evolution of your faculty role, how you became involved, and then how it evolved to where it is today.
Well, first off, doing my PRC, my certification was a humbling experience. I mean, I was kind of like the old guy learning from all the younger folks in that class that were so sharp. And it was the best learning experience. I wish school had been like that few days. And then at the close of the last day for my certification in 2014, Ron and Mike Cantrell sat me down and they said, we want you to be an instructor. And I had voiced an interest in teaching, but I was still blown away. And they said, well, we want you to start with postural respiration and then ultimately teach cervical revolution. And, you know, I didn't know if I was coming or going. And I thought, you know, what have I gotten myself into at this stage of my life? So I started right away. First course, guess who was teaching, being my first mentor and faculty mentor was James Anderson. Right? He keeps showing up in my dreams.
He has a way of following up.
So, exactly. So I started 2015 with attending postural respiration courses and slowly but surely learning the material and then learning how to present it. Just fast forward, the faculty members, all of us, and I speak for myself as well, we're really students. We're just a little further along, I guess, than anybody else, but it's always a humbling experience because nobody really has it all. That's what I like about PRI. We just keep expanding. So anyway, I digressed a little bit that I spent the first few years, I soloed in 2016, teaching postural respiration. I want to back up a little bit. So I had Mike Cantrell and James Anderson were mentoring me and spending a lot of time, which I'm forever grateful to those guys for taking phone calls and breaking stuff down. And a couple years ago, after teaching postural respiration and getting it under my belt, Mike had said to me, learn it, you know, so you can do it in your sleep. Well, nobody can do it in their sleep, but just get it down well enough to be able to go to another course. And it took me probably a good year and a half, the past year and a half, almost 2 years, learning to teach cervical revolution. And that was a very intimidating course for me because I thought being a chiropractor, I should know more about the cervical spine, the OA joint, the cranium. And I realized, oh my gosh, Ron Horuska, I don't know what this guy is. In fact, we sat down one night in New York a year and a half ago, and he said, you know what we are? We're non-denominational interdisciplinarians.
That's a good way.
In other words,
that's a good way to right? describe it.
Exactly. So the point is, I've learned how to be a better chiropractor going to cervical revolution, which blows my mind. And at first, this course was so intimidating. Well, over the past year, year and a half, we've evolved it a bit and rewritten the manual and really broken it down to take a still challenging course and make it where it's practical on Monday morning, where you can understand the basics. That's what I needed. You know, I needed to really understand the basics just to teach it. So yeah. That was my evolution. It's been, since I started with PRI in 2012, it's been knocking me out of my status quo and still does. So those are the courses I'm teaching. The primary course, postural respiration. That was, I think, the flagship course or is the flagship course for PRI where we started. And then Ron has been evolving. Obviously, we all try to keep up with Ron. That's impossible. As he develops courses like Cervical Revolution, used to be the old TMCC course, and now he's going into Cranial Resolution. So we just keep trying to, you know, follow Ron. But I'm delighted now to be able to teach two courses for the Institute, and especially Cervical Revolution. I think it's such a needed course for any discipline. But the interaction between occlusion and cranium, but especially driven by AO joint, atlas on occipital bone. That relationship is so profound neurologically.
Well,
and I think
and
that,
like you said, there's really there's no way to really understand it fully at first. You know, as a chiropractor, you think, well, okay, I got this. We got this. This is maybe one thing I can relate to. We got it in school, or I spent time doing these different cervical spine, you know, adjustments or whatever it may be. But it's, again, it's just a different way of looking at it than you might have been exposed to in the past. So as you said, I think, you know, when people ask me as a chiropractor, you know, I would tell you the same thing you told us today is, you know, take the flagship respiration course that will at least get you to appreciate the underlying patterns that our institute, you know, really stands for. And then from there, go to the cervical spine that, you know, you may be able to more familiarize yourself with as a chiropractor. And those two courses alone in the field of chiropractic and, you know, for any, whether it be outpatient or private care, any chiropractor that doesn't know how to start, it's those two courses that we still today recommend.
You know, I'm obviously biased since I am faculty for the Institute. That's a fact. But I've also been, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've been practicing for 40 years now. Okay. And I have a pretty broad sense of technique for chiropractors. Don't throw that technique away, but take these two courses and it will open doors that you cannot imagine. I mean, for instance, I had somebody with neck surgery, you know, an anterior disc and cage and all that in their neck, a neurosurgery on their neck from a neurosurgeon, that is. I'm not about to adjust this person. They just had the surgery a few weeks ago. But what I will do is give them a cervical technique. I might give them also a postural respiration technique, two techniques. And they come in with a stiff, locked up neck. And I give them a technique called a left lateral pterygoid and protrusion. And that neck loosens up. Now they're getting therapy either with a chiropractor or physical therapist someplace else that are doing orthopedic range of motion, you know, therapy and all that, which is something that is orthopedic. I guess the point I'm making is PRI is so powerful with getting a neck neutral and properly positioned that without it, I'm not sure sometimes what people are doing if they're still kind of stuck in the 20th century. So I get a little worked up about it, but I've got so many examples of people that have necks that I didn't need to push them through or increase their range of motion. All I had to do is get them to inhibit. All I had to do is get them to let go via technique that they do themselves.
And maybe sometimes you know, they fall back into these patterns and you eventually do, you know, not a week after surgery, but let's say 6 months down the road, at that point, they need some manual work. You go back and do it.
Yeah.
As needed. So,
RJ, do you want to hear about some of the cases I've been seeing, or do you want to wait for that? I've got a couple things in mind.
You know,
Skip, where do you want to go?
I'd love to have you back on the podcast for some more of kind of your client history, you know, cases if we do that in the future. I want to kind of wrap up today,
sure,
you know, with what excites us the most about not only your future, but our future as an institute within the field of chiropractic. So obviously we've been talking about everything that's exciting about not only the two courses you teach, how those relate to chiropractors and the field in general, but Skip, I want to mention, you know, I think it was about 2 years ago now when a guy by the name of Jeff Tucker, you know, invited you and eventually Ron and I joined you in Orlando for an ACA rehab council. And Skip, you know, I've known you probably since about the time you got at least credentialed or started your course history, but I really enjoyed spending time with you on that trip. And really what it excited both I and Ron for the most is, you know, your passion that matches our passion with integrating with your field in the future. So I know, you know, I know you have every desire to keep integrating with any chiropractor that's interested. But really, I'd like to kind of briefly talk about some of the opportunities that we may have, you know, some of the opportunities that you would recommend for chiropractors, maybe outside of a PRI course, but maybe where they could learn more about incorporating our technique with others, whether it be through the ACA or through some of your other rehab councils that you've spoken, you know, through and for in the past. But walk us through some of, you know, these more chiropractic rehab councils and how you think, you know, our growth with them will expand and, you know, kind of how they've affected your career.
Well, I think there are a lot of opportunities. For instance, with the American Chiropractic Board of Sports Physicians, I've spoken twice to the annual sports symposium. The last one was actually 2014, where I was able to do breakout sessions and present PRI. And of course, 2 years ago, I spoke at the ACA Rehab Council. Jeff Tucker and I are good friends. Jeff is very interested in PRI. And then last year, Ron and you were there, as you said, RJ, had a great presentation. I happened to be in the audience, and I could help interface Ron with all the guys, or all the practitioners, not just guys, but men and women, in the audience, and present PRI again to the ACA Rehab Council.
And that was really a cool, you know, Skip, as you kind of helped, you know, lab assist, if you will, for that talk.
Yeah.
I was in the room as well, just kind of taking it all in and helping as needed. But to see, you know, I don't know what there was, Skip, maybe 100, maybe 70 to 100, maybe more chiropractic doctors in the room. And they're sitting there with open eyes, open ears, and the eagerness and the hunger to learn more. And whether that be through us or through other people, these guys are hungry for more and more involvement with other fields and integrating this stuff. And it was just really a passionate experience, if you will.
Well, you know, RJ, in my profession too, there are certain diplomate programs or postgraduate programs, sports medicine, rehabilitation, orthopedics, radiology, neurology. And there are some super progressive chiropractors out there that are really making a big difference in the medical world, in hospitals, with the Olympics, in the military, in a lot of different places. Chiropractic is making inroads, and these are the progressive people that want skills. They want something that's powerful, applicable. That's why PRI is so, I think, relevant and needed, not just for chiropractic, but for PTs and as well. So I look forward to getting more exposure. For instance, Jeff Tucker called me a couple days ago, and he said, you know, next year we're going to have a call for speakers again. And I said, we're interested. PRI is interested next year. And I'm looking at maybe the Florida Chiropractic Association to reach out to them. Again, to the American Chiropractic Association, they have a interdisciplinary spine symposium, the Parker Seminars. They have become, I think, a big tent for everybody in chiropractic, whether you're more of a, what we call straight practitioner or more of a mixer type practitioner, but a big tent for everybody. What I like about PRI, RJ, is that the application of PRI for chiropractors isn't just for straights. It's not just for mixers. It's for anybody out there that wants to have a powerful way to get sick people well and allow the body to heal itself. That's PRI.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, you know, you went over some opportunities there that not only exist for us, but for all those chiropractors that are interested. We're looking forward to becoming more involved anywhere we can. We've got a great, you know, there's a handful of other chiropractic doctors, Skip, that are starting to become more and more passionate about integrating PRI as well in their communities. I know you're excited about the future and how you can become more involved. We look forward to, you know, speaking at some of those, having you speak or run, you know, whoever it may be.
Oh, yeah.
At some of those conferences. So I think the growth has never been higher for your field or for us involved with that. So it's all exciting stuff.
Well, and I don't want to forget the second chiropractic PRC was Chad Moreau. I tell you what, Chad Moreau was my lab assistant up in Pasadena a few weeks ago. Chad has been the strength and conditioning coach for the LA Kings. He works and knows Neil very well, works with the Dodgers. And he's another, just a kind of a important resource.
And
again, he's a guy. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. So.
Yeah. I think Skip, he's been to maybe 3 or 4 courses already this year through helping out and through things like that. So Chad, we love hearing from Chad. He's a great guy. And he always is, you know, he's one of those guys that I mentioned is kind of like you in the fact that is eager to bridge any gap that he can, whether it be between a guy like Neil, between an athletic training staff and, at PRI or between any other discipline. So Chad's a great resource as well for any chiropractor that may have, you know, questions or may just want to talk or email with him about how he incorporates it. So.
Absolutely.
But, Skip, I think, before we wrap up, I want to just briefly mention kind of some of the, you know, we talked about your interest in skiing when we started this episode, and we talked about some of your articles that you authored in Dynamic Chiropractic, your Breathe Well and Breathe Often series. That's a 3-part series. You have a 4-part series, 3 parts of that being Unlocking the Secrets of the Pelvis, and then that 4th part that you just recently worked on of Unlocking the Secrets of the Cervical Spine. Those are all in Dynamic Chiropractor, as we mentioned. But Skip, before we end, I just wanted to kind of briefly, you know, talk about, you know, let's say your hobby of skiing or some of your other, you know, hiking or surfing or these other things that you're able to enjoy and really kind of incorporate some of these PRI ideas into. For anyone interested, we'll put this on your Find a Provider page this episode. But Skip has done a few small skiing tutorials on, Skip, why don't I let you kind of describe, you know, those skiing videos and how you incorporate PRI into some of your skiing as you're avid to get on the mountain.
Well, thanks, RJ. I think that what I do is I ask all my skiers, and I've seen some pretty high level skiers, and I ask them one question: what's better, your right or your left turn? And they think about it and they say, oh, it's my left turn that's always better. I'm always stronger on my right leg. And of course they would be, because if we go back to Myokin, you're going to be in right stance, dominant position when you're skiing or doing anything, walking. And so you'll need your right leg when you make a left turn. It's the right turn getting onto your left leg and left AFIR, that's the issue with everybody. If you could do that via a left hamstring, abdominal wall, left adductor, and getting a ZOA, then you will put yourself on stance phase and you'll be able to turn to the right by getting an edge, an inside edge on your left ski. That's just one thing I think you could use for a recreational skier or a downhill racer. Doesn't matter. The principle is the same.
Yep.
So
Skip, that was kind of just a plug into some of those videos you put together, but
right.
Whether it be skiing, surfing, you talk about all these different ideas, you know, I'm not even going to go there as far as your age, Skip, because you already said you were practicing for 40 years. So that's enough for today.
Well, I started when I was 8 years old.
But you've been skiing and surfing longer than that. And that's a whole nother, that could be a whole nother podcast, is really, once you learn, a lot of our attendees and a lot of the people that learn PRI take it home and then try to apply it to all these tasks. But, you know, Skip, you're at your age, which we're not mentioning, but the ability to go and ski and surf and do all these activities with incorporating a hamstring or, you know, just the idea of turning on a ski slope, that
right.
So many of the professional athletes, the recreational athletes, the weekend warriors, really, until you break it down and gain an appreciation for all the little things that are happening, they're just sitting there wondering why they can't turn left, or excuse me, why they can't turn right.
That's accurate.
It's fun to be able to apply to your daily life. But Skip, as we wrap up, what are some of, you know, I mentioned surfing and skiing. You reside in La Jolla. I constantly get jealous of when you call, because normally it's snowy here and it's a sunny beach day there for you. But Skip, maybe mention outside of PRI, you know, I know you have a history of, you know, you're a great photographer. You have a history of hiking and spending time in the mountains, but just, let our listeners get to know you on maybe a level of what you enjoy doing outside of PRI.
Well, like you said, RJ, I like to spend as much time as I can up in the Sierras and just hike, take pictures, and renew. That's my renewal. It's sort of my place to recharge from the airports, you know, yeah. from work, and to spend more time up in the high country. That's my favorite thing to do. And then when I can, I get out in the water and still go up and ski, and I'll continue to do that as long as I can.
As long as there's snow.
Now, RJ, I had to start my car. I don't know if you can tell. I don't know if you can hear it in the background.
I could a little bit, but...
Well, the reason I had to stop was I've got to take my girlfriend to the airport. We can continue talking, but I'm driving out of the parking lot right now so I can get her down on a flight.
That's no problem.
We can continue to chat.
I wanted to just end with some of those other things in your life, and, you know, Marsha being one of that. Tell Marsha hello for us, Skip. We really appreciated having you on the podcast today. I won't keep you any longer, but we'll have you back. We'll get into some of those cases that you mentioned, some of the more applicable case studies that you find relevant within your chiropractic care. But Skip, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you spending the time with us today. And I think all of our listeners will really appreciate that time as well. So thank you, Skip, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks, RJ, for the time. And it was great talking with you.
Thanks, Skip. You have a good rest of your day.
If you're interested in learning more about the Postural Restoration Institute, you can visit our website at posturalrestoration.com. You can also email me directly at info@posturalrestoration.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter to see how PRI Nation is currently applying this science. As always, thank you for listening, and I look forward to having you on our next episode.